Minister, is that there, lunch? Oh, yes, sir. Okay, good. Okay, if we can resume.
Yes, please.
Ms. Abington, carry on from where we left off.
No, I wanted to... welcome back, Mr. Singh.
Hi.
I wanted to just clear up one point that was on my mind earlier. You gave an account of Ms. Khan having been quite distraught on the 3rd of August when she came into your room.
Yes.
And spoke to you about the anecdote.
She was already in my room. I was alerted to her being in my room.
Okay. So on that occasion, I remember you said earlier that you drafted something for her and she went back and she made a clarification.
Yeah. I drafted it on my phone.
Yeah.
I did not draft it in the office. I believe I may have gone back to the chamber and I drafted it. But substantively, yes, I drafted it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, another point not related to what I've just asked you. Would it be fair to say that for Ms. Khan, throughout the rest of August, after her meeting with you on the 8th,
right,
and for the rest of September, barring the period when she was down with shingles,
right,
she was performing her constituency work and attending to her usual engagements, and there was nothing unusual about her performance?
There was no reason for me to conclude otherwise.
All right. Thank you.
I think we also have to remember there was some... I wouldn't say, I would maybe call it a temporary stoppage because of the evolving COVID situation. So
there were
points in time where we ceased house visits, for example, and stuff like that. Yes.
That's across the board. I'm saying
that's right.
Ms. Khan in particular.
All the MPs would have been under those instructions, for example, yes, all the WP MPs to cease.
And there was nothing unusual about Ms. Khan's performance or attitude or whatever she was expected to perform or do as a member of parliament, she did.
She's not an active compared to the other WP MPs. She's not as active as some of the others are. So, for example, there were a number of bills, I believe, that came up in October. She doesn't speak very much on these bills, and to the extent that it was that sort of performance, that continued.
But on the 27th of September,
mm-hmm,
she volunteered to you that she'd like to seek feedback on a speech that she had made in support of the women's motion and wanted to see whether there's any basis to find common ground, work with parties on the ground, and approached you for that.
27th of September? I would have to look at my records.
You might want to check and let us know if that's not your recollection.
Sure.
But if that's correct, I mean, it would demonstrate that she was A, proactive, at least on this incident, and B, she was thinking forward as to what she should be doing and generally performing her duties as a Member of Parliament.
Which incident, sorry, you're referring to?
I'm talking about the occasion when she wrote to you and said she would like to seek feedback on a speech that she made for the purposes of finding common ground, building consensus.
I'd have to have a look at that before I say something conclusive about it. I can present the evidence to the committee if I know where that communication was made to me.
Okay.
Or you can bring it to my attention if she's already submitted it to the committee.
Can you look at, you were shown earlier Ms. Khan's submission. I just use it as a reference point, see whether you remember, because it's a message to you. So if you please pick up Ms. Khan's bundle.
Two bundles. I didn't know the three bundles. Yeah. Which bundle, Mr. Tong?
From Ms. Khan, dated 7 December.
Okay, I have that here. Could you please direct me to the relevant
page? Please turn
page?
To the very first page.
Okay.
You will see, I think, your name appear on the top.
Yes.
That's her exchange of messages with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just have a quick look at 27th of September, this is where it starts.
Uh-huh.
And you see that around 2:10 p.m., she said to you, I reached out to so-and-so for a chat and CC'd Faisal. I'd like to reach out to someone as well if you think it's a good idea. What do you plan to raise and discuss? You asked her. I'd like to speak about the speech I made in support of the women's motion, get the feedback, and see if perhaps we can have common ground and work on building the relationship. So she's following up on the speech that she wrote, and she's asking you for your views. Do you recall this?
Let me check what...
Because you said, okay. Yeah.
Let me check what predates this, because I may have well sent her a message to ask her to speak to Malay Muslim groups about the feedback to her speech, because I did the same for my mosque chairman, just to understand what the reception was to what she had said. So I'll have to check whether she initiated this or I initiated this.
But regardless, and I think it's actually better if you initiated it, regardless, you thought that she was capable of handling her duties as a member of parliament.
I think to... Given the fact that she was messaging me, yes.
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 In fact, as you said, it might even have been because you thought she was able to do it and you initiated it, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, I'd like to go now to what happened in August. We spoke about that.
Okay.
On various occasions earlier, but I'd like to now go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we've got the timeline from you, so I'll see whether we can move quickly on this, okay? 3rd August, she made the speech,
yes.
Right? 7th August, she had a call with you, and yes. She owned up to her lie
Correct.
In Parliament. 8th August, there was a meeting at your home with
That's
Mr.
Right.
Faisal and Ms. Lim. Okay. 7th August,
mm-hmm.
Was it a long conversation?
No, it wasn't very long.
You said it ended up... It ended with you sort of giving her a short shrift and
yes.
hung up.
Right? Yes. It wasn't... the beginning was really me badgering her about coming up with what actually happened, what really happened, because she wasn't keen on revealing anything.
Okay. Now, on the 8th of August,
mm-hmm.
how was that meeting initiated?
The meeting was... to discuss, of course, the also there was feedback from the speech that she had given, and I had arranged with Faisal and Sylvia to come to my house and talk about that. I'll have to check exactly what time that meeting was arranged, and then on the morning itself, on the 8th of August, I believe I reached out to Raisa and told her to come to my place, and she replied quite quickly because I suspect she knew what I was going to talk about.
Prior to the meeting itself,
mm-hmm.
did you discuss with Ms. Lim and Mr. Faisal the confession that Ms. Khan gave you?
No, I did not.
So as of the 8th of August,
yes.
Prior to the meeting,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Lim and Mr. Faisal were not aware
of the
falsehood?
I may have mentioned something to Ms. Lim on the 7th, but I can't remember exactly what it was, but certainly the... definitely not to Mr. Faisal. I'm also not sure whether I shared it with Ms. Lim because all I knew at that point was she had lied. Why she had lied, what the circumstances were, I didn't know. By the end of the phone call.
Can you check
your
text messages and see how this was communicated?
Just give me... what was communicated, sorry?
How this occasion was communicated, how the meeting was set up, what you told them, what was discussed, anything from the 7th and 8th, and anything arising therefrom, in relation to this issue.
Okay.
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 Now, can you give us an account of this meeting in summary, beginning from the time when Ms. Khan arrived? And at that time, who was there? How did the meeting proceed?
Right.
What was discussed? Who spoke? Who raised what? And how was it responded to?
Right. As my memory serves me, Ms. Khan comes to my place. I think the time is 11, but my text messages will confirm. I think my daughters are playing, running around. So we move to the dining table. We sit there, and then Raisa says, can you ask your girls to go up? Then they go up, and then whether that happened before, I asked... Raisa, you have something to share with us? And Sylvia, Faisal, myself, we were there. She was there. And then she gets very emotional. She starts crying straight away. And the first thing I remember, at least, that she said was, when I was 18 years old, I was... And then, of course, we're shocked to hear this. We're very shocked to hear this. And then she explains that it's because of that condition, that episode, that she faced. It was very traumatic for her. And because it was very traumatic for her, she told the untruth in Parliament because she feels strongly about, issues of sexual assault. And arising from there, she did what she did in Parliament. That was the gist of it. There was also another... That part of the meeting wasn't very long. I think we felt sympathetic. We felt sympathy to her. I remember distinctly asking her, so who else knows about this that occurred when you were 18 years old? And she said, my husband knows, Yudish knows, Paying knows, and my therapist knows. And when she said my therapist knows, I was relieved somewhat, because at least there's somebody there who she can turn to and seek advice and the appropriate counsel from regard to what she is facing. And the conversation actually was very short, and I told her, I said, you'll have to speak to your parents about this. And she said, okay. And then it was very, she was just crying and crying, and that's where we left it.
So arising from this meeting, in your mind, there was no doubt that she had told you, Ms. Lim and Mr. Faisal, that she lied in Parliament.
Yes.
And you must have appreciated that one reason she told this to you and Mr. Faisal and Ms. Lim was because she sought guidance and counsel from the three of you.
She didn't put it that way. Because you have to remember, on the 7th, this was literally forced out of her over the phone call.
Yes, but in this context... Mm-hmm. She's coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
She's made a confession mm-hmm. about a lie in Parliament. It's mm-hmm. a serious matter, which I think you'll agree. In this context, would it be reasonable to assume, for her to assume, that the three most senior members of the Workers' Party would give her guidance?
I believe we did, and my guidance to her was to speak to your parents about it, because in my mind, this would have to be corrected in Parliament, but before we can even...
Did you tell her that?
Sorry?
Did you tell her that?
No, not on that day.
Why not?
I think at that point, given her condition, given her state, it was more important for me to tell her, look, speak to your parents. And when she left my place, I did tell her, we'll have to deal with this issue, but speak to your parents first. I told her that.
So Mr. Faisal, did he say anything to her about the lie? And I focus on the lie.
I'm really not sure specifically for Mr. Faisal, but I think he had some questions to ask her about therapy, and because he's a counsellor, and I think he may have asked her some questions, but I don't recall exactly what those questions were.
But did Mr. Faisal discuss with her what to do with the lie and how to clarify it?
Not that I can recall.
Right. Did Ms. Lim do so?
Not that I can recall as well. Because generally the flavour of that meeting was there was a lot of pity for her.
Okay. So your recollection... was that there was no substantive discussion on what to do.
Right.
And there was certainly no instruction or directive by you to her to clarify the lie.
No.
Right.
No, there was not.
And in fact, Mr. Faisal told us yesterday that after Ms. Khan confessed about the lie in Parliament, the focus was on her well-being and her experience as a sexual assault victim. And that there were no other discussions on the lie in Parliament.
That would be correct, because we were more focused on her well-being and given the state that she was in.
Right. So, she walked out of your home thereafter. Okay, maybe I'll back up a little bit. Mr. Faisal also told us that thereafter, she had composed herself and was able to discuss with him, and perhaps with you as well, the statement that she was supposed to put out to clarify the speech that she made in Parliament.
That's right. There was another matter that was the subject of the meeting that we were having.
Mm-hmm.
And there were quite a lot of things to go through as well. So we went through those, and I told her to draft your statement and then send it to either myself or Faisal. I'll have to check.
So from what I understand from you, the thrust of the meeting was in relation to her talking about her sexual assault experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Faisal may have asked some questions about mm-hmm. this from his perspective as a counsellor.
Yes.
There was some discussion on the statement that she was going to put out concerning the Malay Muslim speech that she had made
a few days ago. Right.
And that was the thrust of the meeting.
That's right. Those were the two thrusts.
As far as you can recall, there was no landing point on what to do with the lie in Parliament.
Specifically as to the lie in Parliament, in my mind, she had to speak to her parents first. And
no, not in your mind. What did you tell her?
Speak to your parents. That was very clear.
Tell me in... As far as you can recall the words, tell me what you said to her and in using what words.
I told her, you'll have to speak to your parents about this issue. And I don't think it went beyond that. But as she left my house, I told her, we'll have to deal with this issue, but speak to your parents first. So I basically recall repeating that to her.
All right. And so she left the home after that?
Yes, she did.
And would I be correct to say that thereafter there was no other communication with Ms. Khan?
That's the evidence.
On the lie?
That's right. That's the evidence that I've done. Right.
And that would be the case all the way until the 3rd of October?
Yes.
Right? Because you told me the only other occasion was 1st October email.
No, that's right. But that email wasn't about the lie. It was about something
in general, but in the sequence of events, you ascribed some weight to that.
That is correct.
So the next time you spoke to her at all about the lie was on the 3rd of October.
That's right.
Now, as of the time she left your home on the 8th of August, mm-hmm. she had, again, looking at the event, as I understand it from yourself, from Mr. Faisal, she had come. There was a traumatic experience. She mm-hmm. recounted it. Mm-hmm. She also told you that there was a lie in Parliament, which mm-hmm. was also traumatic and a difficult experience. And you, as a senior member of the party, and I think that must be the case for Mr. Faisal and Ms. Lim as well, that must have been something that you were focused on as being an issue that had to be resolved.
It had to be resolved in the context of dealing with someone who has suffered from a traumatic episode.
I understand your point about the context, but a lie had to be sorted out.
That's clear.
Untruth cannot be left on the record.
That's clear. That would have to be. That would have had to have been dealt with.
Okay, but it is also your evidence that she left your home without any specific direction or instruction as to what to do with the lie. Right.
She left my home with a direction to speak to her parents, and that we'll deal with this issue. We would have to deal with this issue. That was
without any time frame, right?
Without any time frame. That is correct.
So, she would be fair for her to leave with the impression that you're not particularly concerned.
No.
About the lie.
No, absolutely. I struggle to think how she would make that conclusion.
Because besides the few words that were spoken,
mm-hmm.
and I heard from Mr. Faisal, he didn't say a word
mm-hmm.
to her about the lie.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear from Ms. Lim. Not much was said by you, and there was no specific direction as to what to do. No time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Besides speaking to her parents. That was your only instruction.
In my view, it was when I say speak to your parents, I was concerned that to tell her straight away you got to come up with the truth and all that, it would rattle her.
Okay.
And so in my view, it was important for her to speak to her parents at her time. Because that would be a condition precedent to coming up front in Parliament. They would have to know what had happened to her, which led her to tell this lie in Parliament.
Can I just clarify? What exactly did you say?
I told her to speak to her parents.
The second part, was it articulated?
It was articulated as she was leaving my house. I remember that quite clearly.
Articulated that she should speak to her parents.
She should speak to her parents and that we would have to resolve this issue.
So you said that to her?
Yes, I said that to her.
But you also had confirmed earlier that there was no time frame.
That is correct.
And there was no specific direction or instruction.
Right.
And as I just heard from you, you also said it was not an appropriate time for you to tell her, got to speak the truth, and so on.
That's right. That was my in view of her, how she reacted to telling us why she told the lie.
Okay. So we know what happened now on the 8th of August.
Mm-hmm.
We also heard what happened on the 3rd of October in some detail before the break earlier. On neither occasion did you tell her that she has to tell the truth in Parliament, in those words, correct?
On the 3rd of October, I gave my evidence earlier. Yes. That evidence is on record.
That's right. And now on the 8th of August, same. You also didn't tell her.
Certainly.
You didn't. No, let me finish so that the transcript can pick it up. You also didn't tell her on the 8th of August that she should come and tell the truth in those words.
Not on the 8th of August.
Right.
But it was, in my view, by telling her to speak to her parents and that we would have to resolve this issue, it would be very clear that this issue would have to be dealt with.
Right. Now, you probably remember this or you've seen this, but let me ask you to look at the Ms. Khan's account. Mm-hmm. Of what happened, okay, at the meeting.
Yeah,
if I may invite you to please pick up 2nd of December.
Okay.
And turn, please, to page 87.
Okay.
Do you have it?
Yes, I do. 87, did you say?
87, yeah.
Yes, yes.
So, again, please just cast your eye over it so that I don't have to read it.
No problem.
You're at Mr. Pritam Singh's house. On this occasion, Ms. Lim, Mr. Manap also present. And then I asked her, did you put it in clear terms to them as well, that the statement you had made was false? Answer, yes. Could they have misunderstood? No, they could not. And then you see the next line, what was their reaction to this? She says, it was incredible disappointment. There was a lot of anger, but I think there was some compassion as well. Compassion there as well. The reaction was that if I were not to be pressed, then the best thing to do would be to retain the narrative that I began in August. Would you agree with this?
Completely disagree.
And I said, let me understand the last statement. You said if you are not going to be pressed, then you will retain the narrative that you started in August. Answer, yes. It means if you can get away with it, we don't need to clarify the lie, correct?
This is you putting it
yes,
to her.
Yes, that's me, yes.
Right.
Answer, I think in the simplest terms, yes, you are correct. So again, let me pause there. Would you agree with this?
I completely disagree.
Are you saying this didn't happen?
I'm saying it is completely untrue and it's a lie.
Next question. And so the Workers' Party leadership was present there. Their initial reaction to being told that there was a lie or falsehood said in Parliament was to try and duck the issue, if possible. And if it doesn't come up, then the truth may not be told eventually, correct? Answer. I have to say, though, that Pritam Singh's initial response was that I should go to the Committee of Privileges. But after discussions and me explaining the circumstances that led me to the information in the first place, that changed. Let me pause again at this juncture. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. There was no discussion that I recall on the Committee of Privileges.
So you did
at
not
point.
Tell her, even initially, that she should go to the Committee of Privileges?
Not at that point.
Not at that point?
Certainly not. The Committee of Privileges, I don't know how she recollects this on the 8th of August, but that discussion did not take place because her condition was...
Committee of Privileges then came up at which point, since you say not at that point?
I can't remember exactly when, but certainly on the 1st of October in my email to all the Workers' Party members of Parliament, I did mention quite clearly that if you can't substantiate something, you will go to the Committee of Privileges.
Okay. Then I pick up the point again and I said, so the upshot of the meeting a few days after 7 August, at that point in time, we weren't sure what date of the meeting it was, but now we know it's on 8th of August. So the reference to the meeting in this question should be to the 8th of August meeting at your home.
Mr. Tong, I beg your pardon. Sorry, where are you at now? Are you still at the bottom of 87?
Yes, bottom of 87. Okay. And I'm trying to explain to you that the reason why I framed the question in that way was because Ms. Khan wasn't sure what date exactly it was at this point in time.
Okay, you're explaining.
Or at least I wasn't sure. So I.
Okay, okay. Oh, this meeting was certainly on the 8th of August.
8th of August, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I said the upshot of the meeting a few days after 7 August was that the Workers' Party leadership decided that there will be no need to clarify the position. They will keep the lie in place, since if you're not pressed, there's no need to clarify the truth. Correct? Answer, correct. You would disagree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, go over the page. I asked her whether there were emails or messages exchanged which might corroborate the meeting. And Ms. Khan said to me over the page, did you discuss this with Ms. Lowe thereafter? Yes, I did. In those discussions, did you give an account of what happened? Yes, I did. Would that be my messages? Yes, that would be my messages. And those messages would capture the thrust of what you had discussed with Mr. Singh, Mr. Manap, and Ms. Lim? Answer, yes. And I told her she's making a note to get copies. And I said, these messages would have been contemporaneous, meaning they would have been roughly the same time as when you concluded the meeting with the three of them. Answer, yes. And subsequent to this occasion, she furnished her messages. At the time that these questions were being asked, I had not seen those messages. Now, I'd like to show you the message.
Yes, please.
If I may. We have this little bundle from Ms. Lowe earlier.
Thank you.
Yes. And can you please go to the second page of that thin bundle?
Yes, I'm at that page.
Okay. It's not paginated. So the second page, you see two messages.
Okay.
The second one is titled 8th August. You see that?
No, I'm on the wrong page then. Yes, I see that.
Okay. And it says, it's from Raisha. And let me tell you that this is sent on a group chat where Mr. Nathan and Ms. Lowe are also present.
I understand.
And she says, hey guys, I just met with Pritam, Sylvia and Faisal, and we spoke about the Muslim issues and the police accusation. I told them what I told you guys, and they've agreed that the best thing to do is to take the information to the grave. They also suggested that I write a statement to send out this evening. Now, I know you have not seen this message contemporaneously, meaning at that time, but now you've seen her recollection of the meeting that she sent out contemporaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Would this be accurate?
It would be highly inaccurate. It is a complete lie.
Let's break down this statement.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there was a meeting on the 8th of August.
Absolutely.
Which ended shortly before this message was sent at 12:41 p.m., correct?
I would think so.
From your recollection?
Probably.
Okay. And she then steps out and she sends a message with four sentences.
Mm-hmm.
The first says, I just met with Pritam, Sylvia and Faisal. That's correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second is that we spoke about Muslim issues and a police accusation. That's also correct, right?
That is correct.
The third sentence, I told them what I told you guys, and they've agreed that the best thing to do is to take the information to the grave. The second half of that sentence, you would disagree with, I assume.
Yeah, because I don't know what the first half of the sentence is, and the second half is a complete lie.
Okay. The final sentence, they also suggested that I write a statement to send out this evening, is correct, right?
It is correct.
So most of this message is correct, but her recollection of what she was told to do by the three of you as a result of the lie is inaccurate.
Absolutely. Okay. I would go much further than inaccurate.
Okay. Can I ask you why you think Ms. Khan might lie like this, emerging from a meeting with you?
Okay. I know something which she revealed to the Workers' Party disciplinary panel on the 29th of November, which is quite telling to me. And she told the panel that she suffers from disassociation. Now, it was the first time I heard of it. I asked her what disassociation was. She said, it's when I talk without thinking. And I asked her, don't you think that's dangerous for an MP? And she said, yes. So I'm not bringing this up to suggest anything untoward. All I'm suggesting is it may be helpful for this committee to call for some psychiatric report or evaluation on Ms. Khan. I say that only with the knowledge of what she shared with me on the 29th of November. Could it be a lie to me? It's possible, but
yes.
If we're talking about culpability and how much she, and proportionality, I think it may be helpful.
Well,
But things do add up now as I, hear what was said in the papers and what representations she gave and what she shared with
committee. Mr. Singh, this took place on the 8th of August.
Yes.
And I was very careful before I started this line of inquiry to ask you if you thought that there was anything untoward, unusual about Ms. Khan as a performance, as an MP.
No, that's not your question. If you check back, you asked me, that's earlier, but yes. You asked me what was my view of this message.
Yes, I did,
message.
But when I started this afternoon, after the break, I did ask you about her general performance, and I think you told me that there was nothing that came to your attention which suggested that there was anything unusual about her performance.
No, of course. But you're asking me about this particular message now.
Yes, I am. But I'm now asking you to recall that I did start this afternoon's
I'm not disputing that.
Yes. And so your answer was that she was normal. She was nothing unusual.
No, stood up. Vis-a-vis what you asked me on the 27th, vis-a-vis that message of the 27th of September, that's my answer, yes.
And I also asked you about her performance generally.
It was, there was nothing out of the ordinary to me.
Okay. So, I'm not sure it's fair to characterize what she told you on the 29th of October.
Chair, I seek your indulgence.
No, let me finish.
I think the question needs to be read out by Mr. Tong to me again, so I can be given a chance to explain why I answered it the way I did. Because it was an open-ended question, and you asked me what...
No, I...
What? Why let, she let could have? Why she would have said that?
Let me.
And I know certain facts that I know now, yeah, and I believe I'm entitled to share that.
Mr. Singh, let me finish. I asked you a question, and I said, why it is you think she might lie? And yes. You offered us what happened on 29th. Indeed. And I'm saying to you that in the context of the circumstances that I see, and I can't speak for my members, my colleagues on this committee, in the context of what I see, evidence that you have given,
right.
I'm not sure that the event that you mentioned on the 29th of October, or November rather, I beg your pardon, is basis for us to call for a psychiatric assessment of Ms. Khan.
I can only...
I'm bringing that across to you, and I don't think it is appropriate for us to have that debate now.
I'm not having a debate about it. I'm just replying the question you...
And I really think it is quite inappropriate to bring that up and suggest for this committee to seek a psychiatric assessment of Ms. Khan.
Mr. Tong, you asked me for my view. I've given my view. What you decide is the committee's prerogative. I've just put my view across. I have this evidence.
I think I know
this knowledge. She told it to me,
Mr.
and I'm sharing it with the committee.
I think we know why you raised that suggestion, and I think it is not appropriate.
Mr. Tong, I have notes. What you want to believe and what you want to take into account is your prerogative. You asked me a question, why, and I've given an answer.
Okay.
You don't want to deal with it. You want to ignore it. That's your call.
Let's come back to this.
Yes, please.
This is a message in writing.
Yes.
Anything that she told
you... Not to me.
Yes. Anything that she might have told you, which gave rise to what you might have concluded on the 29th of November, concerns speaking without thinking, in your words.
I think that's what she said, yes. I'm not changing that.
Okay.
But...
So here, she stepped out of a meeting with you.
It would mean the same thing,
you,
in my view.
Stepped out of a meeting with you in August. She put her thoughts down in writing and sent it to her two closest associates.
Yes.
Right. Let me suggest to you that there really is no reason for her to lie to them. Correct?
On what basis do you make that suggestion?
Because she, by now, has confessed to you,
mm-hmm.
to Ms. Lim,
mm-hmm.
to Mr. Faisal.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that, according to you, it has to be clarified.
Yes.
So, and she's also confessed it to Mr. Nathan and Ms. Low.
Mm-hmm.
And sought counsel from them as to what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So why would she go to the senior leadership of Workers' Party and then lie in a close forum to her own associates who are helping her about your reaction?
Mr.
Tong, how would that help her?
Mr. Tong, I cannot answer how it would help her. I can only tell you what she told us in what I told her, what was communicated in my house on the 8th of August. And this rendition of what has happened is a complete, utter fabrication. It's a lie. It's
okay.
A bare lie.
I understand. I understand your position, but...
It's my evidence.
Yes, I understand your position. I'm trying to understand why this might be so. Okay.
You are asking the wrong person because I've told you that it's a lie.
See, when you look at contemporaneous evidence and circumstances, what people were discussing at that time, around that time, after that time, you can get a picture.
Not necessarily. Not if people lie.
Well, of course. So we're here to work out what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you will assist us.
I have been doing so for the last 6 hours.
Yes, we
should. Or make it seven.
Almost
coming
seven.
To seven.
I appreciate that. So... Objectively, okay, and I know you disagree with the contents, and I have that as a caveat. Objectively, this conveys to Mr. Nathan and Ms. Low a very clear picture of what she is to do with the lie, correct?
To the extent that it's communicated to them, yes.
Yes, and the objective interpretation of this is not to bring up the issue anymore if you can avoid it take it to the grave means mm-hmm. don't disclose it, mm-hmm. correct?
That would be on a plain reading.
Yes. So, again, bearing in mind that this was sent minutes, barely minutes after she left the meeting, would it not reflect an accurate contemporaneous record of her takeaway from the meeting?
I would argue that it is an inaccurate record of the meeting.
Because you didn't tell
whether it's contemporaneous, of course, it is contemporaneous by virtue of the time, but it says nothing about the fact that it's a lie.
But she walks away from the meeting, she was not told by you to go and tell the truth.
Mr. Tong, I can continue this exchange with you, but here I'm dealing with someone who on record has lied to me. I have WhatsApp communication of her lying to me about the episode. If you're trying to impress upon me that this is the truth, I'll have to tell you, sir, sorry, that's not the case.
No, Mr. Singh,
she has lied before. She's lied about this episode. She had to be pressed for it to come out. And you are trying to impress on me that she's got no reason to lie because it's contemporaneous.
No,
I disagree vehemently.
Not because it is contemporaneous. The contemporaneity is one factor. But, you know, there is a reason why I understand that you had to press her to come clean on the fact that she could not substantiate her speech.
What would that reason be?
And she made a speech, and of course she was worried. I mean, the leader of a party was asking her, and she was worried. She held it back.
No, she had to tell the truth.
Yes. Here is a different scenario. She's communicating it to her associates, people who she's close with and who's helping her. And she knows that they are helping her. They have her interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to understand why it is that in that scenario, she would want to lie to them. Because I can't work out how that helps her.
She may have a problem.
Unless you're saying that almost 4 months ago, or more than 4 months ago, she contemplated that this very scenario might happen when she was put under an inquiry.
I don't need to say that. I'm just suggesting to you that this is not true.
No, please don't cut me off.
Sorry, I apologize for cutting you off.
Surely, you're not suggesting that she had foreseen what would happen months down the road.
No, I'm not making that suggestion. I'm not making
this.
That. No.
Okay, good. So, the only other reason is that, in your words, she may have a problem.
Yes.
Do you genuinely think that?
Looking back at this entire episode, from her behavior, right from the point where she had to put the speech on the platform that we share, the anecdote is not there. It's suddenly inserted from her SMS, which is clearly to me a lie, and before that, hiding the truth and attempting to cover a lie with another lie. I'm afraid so, sir.
You remember I told you that 2 days after this meeting on the 10th of August, you had a meeting with Mr. Nathan and Ms. Lowe.
Sorry, which meeting on the 10th of August?
You had a meeting with Mr. Nathan and Ms. Lowe.
Uh-huh.
Right?
When? On what day?
10th of August.
Yes.
You recall that I told you that earlier?
Yes, you did.
Yes. If you look at the chats, Miss,
mm-hmm.
and I showed you this earlier, Miss mm-hmm. Khan was aware that they were meeting you on the 10th of August.
I'm not sure, but you if it's on it? The chats, I'll take your. If it's on the chats, we don't have to go through it. I'll take your word for it, because that's not public to me.
I'd like to show it to you again.
Sure, please
pick up the big bundle of the chats between Mr. Nathan, Ms. Lowe, and Ms. Khan.
Which page are we on?
Page 36. We saw this earlier, but I want to refresh your memory. Okay? So, mm-hmm. this is a group chat.
Yes.
10th August. Mm-hmm. Have you decided if you want us to tell Pritam? We are meeting him in 30 minutes. She says, I told him already. So I think it wouldn't matter if you brought it up and so on. You remember I read this to you?
Yes, I remember this.
Okay. So I know you're not part of this chat, but this tells us a few things.
Mm-hmm.
One, they speak to each other and they keep each other informed. Number two, Ms. Khan is aware that Mr. Nathan and Ms. Low were meeting with you on that morning.
That's right.
Number three, they were quite open in saying that they were she was prepared for you to discuss the issue with Pritam, which is you. The issue meaning the falsehood in Parliament.
That's right. She says, so, I have told him already.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, in this context, Ms. Khan knows that her close associates will be meeting with you to discuss the issue that concerns her falsehood. She will not be there. Isn't it inconceivable that she could think she could lie to them about what you said to her, knowing that you will now be meeting with them to discuss this very same issue?
Well, indeed, it would be inconceivable. I would think it is something that she ought to know, that I would never accept a MP, a WP MP, saying that you take a lie to a grave. But again, this is Ms. Khan's recollection to them. I don't believe anything in those chats go into the statement that Ms. Khan tells them, again, about the lie. Because if I look at page 36, all that is said is, he looks at me different now, but I think he empathizes why I lied. And then Peng has a sad face emoji, not an emoji, just the semicolon thing.
Thank you. But you see, the point is this, that they are quite open with each other. Ms. Khan tells them she has told you that she has lied.
Which chat is this, and why is the other point not in this chat, this 1241 chat? I beg your pardon.
No, please keep to what I'm.
No. I'm very interested in this because this is a chat on the 9th.
If you tell me what you're after, I'll help you.
No, I'm trying to understand then in what context is this chat and the earlier message that Ms. Khan sends to them, because I don't see that.
Let me help you and let me explain. We initially got this, which I showed you. Mm-hmm. But we subsequently wanted the entire context of the conversation to understand the flavor. And so what you have now in front of you, which you are flipping, is that context. And if you go to page 23, you will see that same message recorded at 8th of August, 12:41 p.m. So it is
at what time, sorry?
12:41 p.m.
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's everything which is redacted.
Yes.
Thereafter, Raisa talks about
Mr. Singh, you asked me a question and I've showed you. Now I want to go back to my questions, if you don't mind. Okay, so please go back to page 36.
Sure.
The point I'm making to you is that Ms. Khan is quite open to her two associates.
Yes.
That she lied. She told you she lied.
Right.
She knows that you're meeting them to discuss the very same issue. Mm-hmm. They asked whether you want us to tell Pritam or discuss with Pritam. And she says, I think it wouldn't matter if you brought it up. She was quite open. Mm-hmm. If she had, just 2 days prior to this, told her two associates a lie about what you told her to do,
yes,
she would not be as open with them.
Look, I cannot speak for Ms. Khan, but I cannot also understand this behavior on the part of Ms. Khan then later to say, let me just quote from page 36. What was his reaction like? He looks at me different now. It doesn't still change the point that she makes this statement. Peng and Yudhish don't interrogate me with that. They don't tell me, look, this message has been sent to us by Raisa. Is it true or not? That's not in my communication with them.
And I don't disagree. I mean, I have no basis to disagree with you on that, right? So, as I started by saying to you, I appreciate that you didn't see this contemporaneously, right? But what I'm trying to now put across to you is the circumstances in which this is now being discussed between Raisa, Ms. Khan, and her two close associates. Mm-hmm. And they are well aware that she's confessed to you that she lied. Mm-hmm. She is well aware that the two of them are meeting you and expecting that this issue will come up.
You're talking about Peng and Raisa, Peng and Yudhish.
Yes.
Right.
Expecting that the issue will come up.
Right. This is both
of... And Ms. Khan is saying to them, speak to him in her words. I think it wouldn't matter if you brought it up.
Yeah. And so did they.
The fact of the matter, Mr. Singh, is that you did discuss with them that you knew that she had lied in Parliament.
I knew she had lied in Parliament, yes.
And that was what was the subject matter of what was discussed. Not so much the 1241 message from 8th of August. So what they did discuss with you was that Ms. Khan had lied in Parliament and that you were aware. Correct?
That would have been accurate. But at no point did either of them point out to me that there was an instruction to take this to the grave. And I noticed that wasn't queried of them.
Okay. And I have no reason to disagree with you because they didn't tell me that they brought it to your attention. All right? So I'm trying to give you as much of the relevant evidence surrounding the issue as possible so that you have a clear picture.
No, okay? Thank you.
Now, on the 10th of August, this meeting that we have seen references to in the chats, you did meet with Peng and Ms. Low and Mr. Nathan. And I'd like you to look at Mr. Nathan's account of that meeting.
Sure.
If you could please pick up the bundle 3rd December.
Yes, I have it.
And please turn to just give me a moment. 3rd December. Page 32.
Yes, I'm at page 32.
So at page 32, you go from the top, you see a reference to Mr. Yudhishthiranathan.
Yes.
So what happened was that I was informed by Ms. Low that Mr. Pritam Singh had wanted to meet the two of us on 10th August, right? But the thing is, I hadn't told us why he wanted to meet and so on. Then he says, but it actually turned out that when we met Mr. Singh, the main purpose of the meeting was to discuss another party matter, completely unrelated, which he wanted our input on. But on the sidelines of the meeting, of that meeting, we did discuss Ms. Khan having essentially told us that having come clean. What does that mean, having come clean? Having come clean, in a sense, admitted that she lied. Having admitted that she lied in Parliament? Yes. Can you describe the nature of the conversation that you had with Mr. Singh, with Ms. Low? Mr. Nathan's evidence is this. From what I recall, we, of course, expressed disappointment that Ms. Khan had lied and shock. But I think from what I recall, Ms. Low and Mr. Singh were talking about how, or rather, Ms. Low was telling Mr. Singh that sexual assault victims do experience trauma and that can sometimes make them, in some circumstances, be less likely to want to tell the truth, out of fear, perhaps. I remember Ms. Low saying that this was a point that she wanted to communicate to Mr. Singh just from her own. Ms. Low happens to be someone who has good knowledge about issues of women's rights and sexual assault cases in Singapore. And so just to summarize my understanding of that meeting as it relates to the lie was that we were all on the same page in terms of knowing that she had lied in Parliament and in terms of knowing that she had cited the sexual assault as her reason for that. Mm-hmm. You recall this exchange?
I don't recall it to the detail that Mr. Nathan recalls it. Now I remember what the completely unrelated party matter was. But essentially, the thing I remember of this meeting was confirming with them that Ms. Khan had lied in Parliament.
So that was something that was discussed in an...
I wouldn't say discussed.
The gist of which would be accurately contained in Mr. Nathan's evidence.
Correct? I would not go so far as to say that because I think this recollection of Ms. Low may well have taken place on the 12th of October in my house rather than at this meeting.
No.
Ms. Low being that sexual assault victims experience trauma and so forth.
All right. So you think that, save for that part, which was discussed later on the 12th of October, the
I believe so, because that meeting...
No, don't speak over me, otherwise...
Sorry. I beg your pardon.
So
please
save for that portion about what Ms. Low says, the rest of Mr. Nathan's evidence is accurate about what was discussed on the 10th of August?
Let me just look at that evidence again. I do not recall them expressing disappointment that Ms. Khan had lied and shock. I don't recall that.
That would be quite a...
I don't recall
usual... That. I mean, that's quite an expected response, isn't it?
You've asked me the question. I don't recall shock and disappointment from them that Ms. Khan had lied. I don't recall that.
there must certainly be at least concern.
I think it was more a question of whether I had known by that point already. And I said, I know, because she told me. But in terms of these additional points made thereafter, Ms. Lowe telling Mr. Singh sexual assault victims do experience trauma and so forth, I don't recall this because...
Okay, all right.
Certainly, I don't recall this being made on the 10th of
Okay, let
August.
Me go on.
Yes.
And then let me read on. Bottom sure. of page 32.
Sure.
A few questions. Did Mr. Singh tell you or Ms. Lowe that Ms. Khan had to come to Parliament at the next sitting to clarify the lie? Answer, no. Did Mr. Singh say to you that it was important for Ms. Khan to quickly inform her family of the sexual assault incident so that she could then proceed to clear up the lie in Parliament? Answer, no. Did Mr. Singh discuss with either yourself or Ms. Lowe any steps to be taken in relation to the clarification of the lie, perhaps outside of Parliament, on social media, on other platforms that you might have had? Answer, no. Would that be an accurate
No,
discussion?
Indeed. I don't think it was discussed in any significant way.
None of this
way.
Was discussed.
None of this was discussed, okay. Yes.
Few lines down. So if I understand your evidence correctly, between 8 August and 2nd October, as far as you know, there were no discussions between Ms. Khan and the senior leadership of the Workers' Party, comprising Mr. Singh, Mr. Manap, and Ms. Lim. As far as I know, no. That you would agree with.
But that
correct?
Was my evidence earlier already.
Okay. In fact, your very resolute evidence. Just.
I mean, it's the truth.
Now, Mr. Singh, why did you not explain to Mr. Nathan and Ms. Lowe that the intention was for Ms. Khan to come forward at some stage to clarify the lie?
There was no reason for me to do that. I had to. This was an issue between me and a sitting MP, Ms. Khan.
And they are coming to you. Obviously, you know by then that she had also told them about the lie.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you know that they will be helping her or will help her.
Mm-hmm.
So, and eventually, I think you do call upon them to assist you to deal with events post 12th of October,
mm-hmm.
that meeting.
That's right.
Which you agree with, right?
That's right.
So why would you not have at least shared your plan with them if that
you
was
see,
indeed
at
the
that
plan?
Point, at that point, there was the only plan, if you use that word plan, was for her to go and speak to her parents about it. She's a MP of the party. She has to take ownership and responsibility of the matter. It was something for her to do and for me to hear from her. What's the resolution? So I did not think at any point then it was relevant for me to raise this matter with Paying or Yudish. Because
but,
this is something for Ms. Khan to take
yes,
ownership
but
over.
You know that Ms. Lowe, you might disagree with it being said on this occasion about her knowledge about sexual assault victims and how to assist and perhaps counsel them. You might not agree with it being spoken on this occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But you do know Ms. Lowe quite well, and you do know that she has an interest in this area. And if your concern was her state of mind, whether she's told her family, and those were the questions that you had to ask yourself and satisfy yourself of before she could take the next step, which was an important step, to remove from the record in Parliament the lie, then it would have been quite usual, expected even, to have discussed this with Ms. Lowe, to find out how she was, where she's going, has she told her family, and then prepare for the next steps.
So, number one, I don't know that Ms. Lowe is this specialist in women's rights and sexual assault cases. What I do know is Ms. Khan has a therapist, which she admitted to me on the 8th of August, who is aware of this episode. And I would think that would be a more appropriate person for her to seek counsel from.
Okay. But I know you'll say you've said this before, but at no stage did you make any attempt to find out whether the therapist sessions were going well, whether she was ready, whether she had told her family at all.
I've given you my evidence, yes.
You see, I'm producing all of these other
No, I
related
understand
material
you are, but I've already given the evidence that you're trying
to try to, no, to try to understand the entire... the entirety of the circumstances.
Mr. Tong, I've told you
the
truth.
You see, I've been very upfront with you, Mr. Singh.
Yes. I've been very upfront with you, too.
I look at this, and you know, I find it surprising
mm-hmm.
that for someone with your experience, And I would say I've seen you with your force of conviction when you speak, when you make demands, when you set out your views clearly. It seems somewhat out of character for you not to have made it clear to Ms. Khan, either on the 8th of August or on the 3rd of October, that she should tell the truth. Make it clear.
I made it. Or, sorry, go ahead.
Or, well, in those words, okay? I know what you're going to say, but in those words. Or, even if you felt you had made it clear, not to have taken steps to check with either her family or the progress of her therapy sessions, or indeed with Ms. Khan on several occasions when you met with her, or with any of her close associates as to how she's doing and whether she's ready to now take the next step, which I think we agreed would be important, to clarify the truth that remains on the record.
Mr. Tong,
that in mind, can you offer us a reason?
Mr. Tong, we're coming back to the evidence I've already given. I told her to speak to her parents. We will have to deal with this issue. And I told her that on the 8th of August. I also have given it in evidence a few times now that from there up to the 3rd of October, and in a different way on the 1st of October, I had communicated my view on what was the right thing to do. Now, I can't embellish or even attempt to want to embellish any further evidence I've already given, because that was the case. And I came to that judgment because here I'm dealing with someone who is telling me that she is suffering from a trauma of in the past. And I, in my view, thank you for those comments about my character, but in my assessment, this was somebody who needed time to deal with this problem. That was my view.
I think I understand your explanation that time is needed, but what I don't understand about your explanation is why you don't take any attempt to find out whether the time has been taken.
I expect that she would be speaking to her parents, speaking to her therapist, and when she's ready and when she's decided, okay, look, Pritam, I can make this clarification now. So I expected it to come from her as a senior,
2 weeks, 2 months?
It's the same question you asked me earlier.
But I have to understand that.
No, it would have, if, let's say in October, since it's a hypothetical question, in October, let's say the issue didn't come up.
No, would I'm I not have asking it. I'm
by
not.
The same person that you speak
no, Mr.
of,
Singh, sorry,
whose
sorry.
Character, I, his convictions, etc.
I'm not asking you to construct.
Let me finish at least.
No, I think maybe you heard me wrong. I'm not asking you to construct a hypothetical scenario. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you, in your position, mm-hmm. when you decide on a framework for something to happen, mm-hmm. speak to family first,
yes.
then come clean, clarify the lie.
Yes.
When you decide on that, you must have some expectation as to when it's going to take place. So it's not a hypothetical question, because when you put this out and you mm-hmm. formulate this plan, mm-hmm. in your mind, there must be a resolution as to what would be reasonable for this plan to be carried out.
When you say plan, what plan are you talking about?
And meaning for the family to be told and then to come clean in Parliament.
And this is something that I would expect to hear from Ms. Khan.
No, she has I'm asking for you.
Yes,
you.
That's my answer.
Your expectation as to the time frame for this.
Right. So my expectation is by the 3rd of October, it's, in fact, even earlier, it's this. She obviously is not coming up. I send this note to all the MPs. On the 3rd of October, I make it clear that she has to take ownership. And that's actually a very important meeting, because if I follow this direction, this line of questioning, if there was no plan that you are at carte blanche to decide on your own timeline, I wouldn't have met her on the 3rd of October to tell her, look, you've got to take ownership and responsibility. Now,
but
in the event...
According to you, yes, the 3rd of October, ownership would only happen if it's raised.
Well, indeed. I mean, if the matter had...
Right.
Because she hadn't come up to me to say, I'm ready to come up with all this. I've spoken to my parents. I've done my sessions
so
with my therapist.
Your answer is circuitous. I mean, on the one
but
hand,
there's nothing
you say
circuitous about it. It's actually quite straightforward.
Very circuitous.
It's very straightforward.
Because on the one hand, you are saying, I have a timeline. 3rd October is very important. You said so in your evidence.
Yes.
But on the other hand, when I confront you with the proposition that actually 3rd October, it may not come up the next day.
Indeed, it may not.
Yes. And but so I've then already you say, put... Then I, you say, well, yeah. then it's up to her.
No, I didn't say it's up to her. Look, on the 3rd of on October, I have put her on notice of what is... what she would need to do if it comes up. Take ownership, take responsibility. Now, if it doesn't come up, I've already told her that. I will have to square away with her again. You have to take ownership and responsibility.
Yeah.
And after that, it's now hypothetical when that would happen, but all this is not really relevant, I suppose, for the purposes of our exchange.
Well, actually, it is relevant. I mean,
go ahead.
The fact of the matter is that you must have in your mind a time frame, and as I said, you would be acting in a manner consistent with that. You would check whether the criteria that you mm-hmm. have set for yourself for clarification in Parliament to take place has been met. Has she told the family?
Yes.
And I find out from you that not only do you not ask the family, you don't ask her.
That's right.
You don't ask her therapist or you don't ask about her therapist.
That's the truth.
You don't ask her associates. You don't ask anyone.
Right.
You don't even ask, as far as I understand from Mr. Faisal's evidence, you don't even ask your fellow Workers' Party CEC members.
That's right.
Nothing.
This is my responsibility. I know yes. I'm the leader of the party. So, I have made a judgment as to what I think is this lady's condition. And I believe that this is something that she will have to take ownership of. She will have to take responsibility for. She'll have to close the issue with her parents. And when she's ready, we can deal with it.
But you take no steps to find out when she's ready.
No, that's true. Because I've already given evidence to that regard.
Right. Now, let me move on, Mr. Singh. On the 1st of November,
yes,
Ms. Han made her personal explanation in Parliament, right?
On the 1st of November, yes, that's right.
And we agreed earlier that this was something that was had been run through the CEC.
That's right.
You had also given input to it, right?
I had taken a look at it, but my inputs weren't heavy at all, actually. It was in the main from Ms. Khan.
Can you pick up this thick bundle you have with you?
If you could just tell me the title, please.
I will when I find it, yes. The thickest one from Ms. Low. I'm not sure how it's titled on your page.
Is it this one? This one, is it? Which page am I looking at?
Can you turn, please, to page 142?
Yes.
Here there's a discussion about the draft personal explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from the top, are you okay to meet after? Yudhish says, I'm okay, should be okay. Three people can meet at your place or HQ. And then at 12:19 p.m., Ms. Khan says, Pritam had some comments and I made some slight edits as well. Paying says, do you change from Saturday? But Ray, if Pritam has signed off on it, is it necessary that we meet? I wanted to get any last input. And then at 2:46 p.m., she says, if P has signed off on it, I think it's okay. We don't need to go over it and edit it one more time. Ray says, okay. 2:47 p.m., she says, it's just that he took a big chunk out and asked me to mull over it. Mm-hmm. Do you recall this?
I don't recall it, but anything which I commented was not substantive to...
But it says you took a big chunk out of
the... That's statement. What she says.
Yeah. Do you recall it?
Is I don't correct? Recall taking a substantive chunk, but I would have to... You would have to bring my attention to what that chunk she's referring to.
Well,
then I perhaps can share.
I was going to ask you to help us. Sorry? Would you be able... I was going to ask you to help us. Would you be able to give to this committee the drafts of the statement?
I don't have those drafts. Those drafts were with... I can check. I can check whatever I have. I will submit everything I have to the committee, but I'll have to check.
Okay.
But
what we would like to have would be the draft of the statement and the various iterations, which would show how they were revised and by who.
Okay. I may have difficulty doing that because a lot of the drafts were returned to RISA. So I may not have copies of the drafts. But if I do have any, I will give them to the committee.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Can you please pick up the bundle? Not the same one. Mm-hmm. It is now... submission by Ms. Khan, dated 7th December. We looked at it briefly just now, at the start of this. 7th December.
Okay, go ahead.
You recall we were on the first page earlier on 27th September.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So if you now go over the page to page 2,
mm-hmm.
just quickly cast your eye over the messages. I think you should be familiar because these are your messages.
Right.
So, 16th of October.
These are my messages to who?
Raisha.
Okay.
16th of October, mm-hmm. 9 a.m. Morning, Pritam, I've dropped it off. This would be the draft personal explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me pause for a moment.
Yeah.
You had a meeting on the 12th of October with Mr. Nathan and Ms. Low to discuss taking steps to prepare this explanation.
That's right.
And by the morning of the 16th of October,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Khan had dropped off the statement to you.
She had drafted a statement, yes.
Okay. It would appear that she really has no difficulty with... preparing the statement and coming forward, she was quite proactive.
I wouldn't jump to that conclusion.
Well, she was...
She was instructed on the 12th of October that there was no way you could expect this issue to lie low.
Yes, but earlier on you gave us the impression that she was still prevaricating.
She was prevaricating on the 12th of October when she met us for the... when she met us, me and Sylvia. She was prevaricating because she did not want to tell the truth.
And...
she did not want to make a statement in Parliament.
By the 12th. The consensus was that she would make a statement to come clean, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And thereafter, she cooperated with you, correct?
That's right.
Right.
She agreed.
So she drops off one draft on the 16th of October.
Mm-hmm.
Then right after, you say, how soon can a second draft be submitted? That's 18th of October.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second one at least, we can tell.
Yes.
Then if you go further down the page at 10:36 a.m. on the 20th of October, you say, hi, Raisha, please make time to come over today to my place, 8:30 p.m. I'll confirm again once Sylvia replies.
Yes.
Make that 7 p.m. So the 20th of October was, it seems, another meeting.
Yes.
Then on the 22nd of October, Raisha says at 12:15 p.m., hi, Pritam, I spoke to my dad. Can we meet maybe this weekend or Monday? Your answer, let's meet tomorrow with Sylvia, 11 a.m., Party HQ. That will be on the 23rd. Of October.
That's right.
And further down the page, 27th of October, hi, Raisha, can you come to Parliament at 12 p.m. today urgently? Yes. Hi, Pritam, yes, I will be there.
Sorry, let me just bring myself, my attention down. You said 27th of October?
Yes.
Ah, yes, I see it. Correct.
Okay, come to my office, right? Okay. So, this exchange shows us that there are at least four occasions when you met.
Yes.
And looked at the drafts. And there are probably more.
I would think that this was... I'm not sure about the exact number. I can come back with an answer for the committee, but on the basis of these exchanges, I think that's a reasonable conclusion.
All right. Now, on the same day as Ms. Khan making the personal explanation, you released a press statement. Remember we saw that?
I didn't release a press statement. I put up a Facebook post, which then the party carried on its pages.
Okay. So let's look at that. I think you had it earlier with you, right?
Yes.
Do you still have it?
Just bear with me. I'm sure it's around here. Ah, there we are.
Okay. Look at the opening line of this.
Mm-hmm.
MP Raisha Khan should not have shared an account that contained untruth in the House.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And middle portion cites the Parliament Act, several other pieces of information, and it's a short paragraph.
Yes.
Now, let me put some questions to you. You knew about this falsehood from as early as 7th August, right?
Yes.
So why does this not appear anywhere in the statement?
I didn't see the relevance of that to this statement.
You see, Miss...
Miss Khan, it was for Miss Khan to tell the truth to Parliament.
Of course.
She didn't tell the truth.
But you see, Mr. Singh, part of a holistic assessment of Miss Khan must include whether or not she had told the truth earlier to her superiors, i.e., in this case, yourself, Miss Lim, and Mr. Faisal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be relevant, correct?
It would not, in the context of why she lied, because of this traumatic episode, I think it colors what ought to have been done quite significantly.
Meaning that she had told her superiors earlier would colour what ought to have been done quite significantly. Mm-hmm. Is that your evidence?
Yes.
So it's important for the public to understand that, in fact, that's what she did, isn't it?
It is important to understand, and she admits to that in her statement on the 1st
yes,
of November.
Yes, and it's important for the public to understand that she came to you,
mm-hmm.
and then also subsequently to Ms. Lim and to Mr. Faisal, the three most senior people in the CEC of the Workers' Party.
Yes.
To explain her position.
Yes.
Correct? And at least according to you, settle on a plan, settle on a approach to deal with the clarification subsequently, right?
I wouldn't use the word settle, but she was told to go and speak to her parents.
Yeah. So there was a plan, speak to the parents
first. Those are your words, those are not my words.
So let's take it step by step.
Yes.
There was, you told us that she was told to settle with the parents, tell them so that they know, and then that clears the deck for her to come to Parliament to clarify, right?
That's right.
So that understanding was reached with her, according to you.
No. Where did I say that understanding was reached? Where in my evidence do I say that?
How else is she going to come to Parliament? She would have to first tell her parents.
She would have to
family.
First. Yes, go ahead.
And then she will come and clarify, right?
She will first have to tell her parents. She knows that the issue has to be resolved. She has to tell me that the issue will be resolved and this is what I will do. And then she will come to Parliament and make that statement.
All right. Isn't it relevant for the public to know that that was what happened? And the 1st November clarification is the product of that plan.
If the situation was that we had indeed told her to cover up, take this lie to the grave, I think it would be highly relevant.
Okay.
But it wasn't.
Remember this later on. Remember this.
Yes, I will remember
it. If you had told her to do this, it would be highly relevant.
If you had told her to lie.
Yes, remember
this. To take this lie to the grave.
So coming back to this point,
mm-hmm.
please explain to me why you think it is not appropriate in the interest of open, transparency, honesty.
Right.
These are words which I think you speak more of than most people in Parliament.
That's
why would you not include this fact in your statement, whether to the media or
I did not see it as relevant.
I suggest to you, Mr. Singh, you don't see it as relevant because you know that disclosing that you knew about this falsehood from as early as the 7th of August, 3 months prior to the personal explanation, would cast you in a bad light.
No, I'm not so worried about my reputation in that regard, Mr. Tong.
Mr. Singh.
I have answered your question. I hope I have.
And I believe that that's why you omitted it from this statement.
No, that was not a consideration at all. It didn't even cross my mind.
And that's why this statement presents a picture that suggests that it was Ms. Khan alone who told a falsehood, didn't share this with anyone else, and is only now coming to Parliament to make this personal explanation.
Those are the material facts.
But it's also material when you want to assess A, Ms. Khan, and B, as a broader whole, the Workers' Party, the fact that you and Ms. Lim and Mr. Faisal were aware earlier would also be material.
No, I would not say it was material because, as I have mentioned earlier in my evidence, this was something that she had to take ownership of, and this was more relevant. She told a lie. she had to explain why she told the lie, and she also had to explain why on the 4th she told the lie again. Those, I think, were the more critical factors as far as I was concerned.
Yes. Mr. Singh, this statement sounds like Ms. Khan kept it from all of you. None of you knew. That would be one reasonable...
How do you come to that conclusion?
Well, because he doesn't say that you knew.
No, but how do you specifically come to that conclusion? What sentence here gives you that impression that we are hiding something?
It's a complete absence of the sentence. And that's the point. That's why
that's
you're hiding
That's the inference
something.
You're making. There's no, nothing for me to hide. I've given this on evidence now. There was absolutely nothing for me to hide.
I think.
And this is where I come back to the point I made earlier, and you reminded me of it. If we had told her to lie, then it becomes material. But we never told her to take a lie, take it to the grave. Nothing of that sort.
You see, it's important for both Parliament and the public to know that Ms. Khan had come to the senior leadership of the Workers' Party, confessed to them fully, and worked out with them what would be the conditions for which she would then come to Parliament to clarify the lie.
That may well be your view, but I don't agree with it.
What's wrong with being open and transparent, honest? Give all the information.
Sure, I agree with you. What's wrong
with that?
Nothing is wrong with that.
So
why don't you do the same? Why don't you do the same when Trace Together happened in late October? Why didn't the government just come out and tell the truth straight away? Don't wait for a parliamentary question.
Yes, I thought you might say that.
Yeah, but it's because it's very relevant. I'm not questioning
this inquiry,
but this is a decision that you've made. This is a decision the government made, the government made, and this is the call I made.
And I'm suggesting to you that this call that you made was to suppress the information, suppress the fact that you knew, because you knew that it would cast you in a bad light. Mr. Singh.
I completely disagree.
Cast your mind to 2nd December, when you had the press conference, we saw the notes. Just have a quick look. Tell us, what were the most searching questions that the press asked of you? Did you know?
Yes.
Why did you do what you did?
Right.
What did you do?
Right. Those questions were even put out there already before the press put them to me. That's why I addressed them on the front foot.
And let me suggest to you that it was because the public was asking questions about what you knew, what you did, when you knew, that you had no choice but to call this press conference.
No, there was a choice whether we wanted to call the press conference or not. But I believed that those questions were relevant because they were going around and I wanted to answer them.
And they were going around because your 1st November statement was less than open, Mr. Singh.
There was no connection with the 1st November statement. The connection was the resignation of Raisa Khan.
Mr. Singh, is absolutely connected. They all pertain to the same issues.
Mr. Tong, it's a nice attempt for you to question what we put in our press statements. You can take that view, but I'm telling you it's an incorrect view. There was nothing to hide. And this idea of protecting myself, my reputation, this is not what I enter politics for.
You may say that, Mr. Singh.
I have not given
us one credible reason why.
Not to you.
This material fact of your knowledge,
right,
of the falsehood 3 months before it was disclosed in Parliament.
Right.
Why is that not in the statement?
Well,
and the only logical inference is that you wanted to distance yourself from the knowledge of Ms. Khan. Rather, distance yourself from the lie that Ms. Khan had told and the fact that you knew about it and chose to do nothing about it.
And I had good reasons why I chose to do nothing about it.
Please don't interrupt me.
Sorry, go ahead.
And chose to do nothing about it, which I will remind you, I've asked you ad nauseum and you've said ad nauseum that in fact you've chosen to do nothing about it. All this while. So the reality, Mr. Singh, is that you chose to take this out because you knew that that would put you in a bit of a pickle.
Mr. Tong, completely incorrect. A completely incorrect and, but I must say, quite imaginative conclusion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I'm not imagining it.
No, I believe you are.
And then on the 2nd of November, you see that maybe in the same bundle, the Workers' Party media statement is made, this time around announcing the formation of a disciplinary panel.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you to have a quick look at it. The panel was approved, the CEC approved the formation of the panel, the DP, to look into the admissions made by MP Raisa Khan in Parliament on 1st November, arising from an earlier speech made by the MP in Parliament on 3rd August 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And the members of the DP are set out in that media statement.
Yes.
Now, in this context, would it not be relevant, a relevant consideration for the DP, that you and Ms. Slim and Mr. Faisal Manap had been aware of the falsehood from August and had been working with Ms. Khan towards having this clarified in Parliament? Agree?
Could you repeat the question, sorry?
Yes. I said, in this context, would it not be relevant, a relevant consideration for the DP, that you and Ms. Lim and Mr. Faisal Manap had been aware of the falsehood from August and had been working with Ms. Khan towards having this clarified in Parliament?
It would have been relevant if our intention was, as Ms. Khan interpreted, to take a lie to the grave. It would be very relevant. But we had no such takeaway to her in that manner. There was absolutely no way she could have interpreted it in that way. And we looked at it as an issue that the party had to resolve. A party MP has made this, has told a lie in Parliament. She's finally come clean in Parliament on the 1st of November, told the truth. She confirms, as she did with us on the 8th of August, as to what exactly happened. And we didn't see it as something untoward or out of the ordinary for us to consider ourselves an information that had to be released. Because we know why, we know exactly why it was difficult for us to share this beyond the three of us, because of the personal and private nature of what she had shared with us.
So you see, Mr. Singh, this panel is set up to look into the falsehoods and presumably to make recommendations as to what to do with Ms. Khan, right?
From a party perspective, yes.
Yes, from a party perspective.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be relevant that the senior leadership of the Workers' Party had been aware of the falsehood much earlier and had played a part in advising her on the steps to take to correct it?
It doesn't change the fact that she was the one who...
answer my question.
No, I don't think so.
It must be material, because you're also determining her fate, what to do with her, what sanctions to impose on her, correct?
We are not determining her fate.
You are making recommendations.
CEC determines her fate.
Yes.
We are not judge, jury and executioner.
But three of you are the most senior members of the CEC.
Uh-huh. No, we're not. There are other senior members on the CEC as well.
And I think the reality is that the CEC included the three members on the DP, right?
The CEC is not a bunch of men and women.
Yes or no?
Ask that question again.
The three members of the DP are from the CEC.
We are part of the CEC, yes, of course.
So the fact of the matter is that your conduct in advising her, well, first being aware of the lie and then advising her on the steps to take, would be relevant considerations, wouldn't
advising
it?
Advising her on the steps to take?
Yes, to tell her family and then come clean in Parliament.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Well, that's all I told her. That's all I told her on
those
the 8th
are relevant
of August,
considerations.
Right?
And
to me, the point is, at any point from August right up to the 3rd of October, she's at liberty to come up and come and see me and says, look, I've squared this issue away. I am going to deal with it in Parliament.
Let me ask you this question. Let me approach it in a different way, since you either are not understanding me or...
I understand you perfectly
don't want
well.
To understand. Then maybe you don't want to answer the question.
No, I've answered the question also.
Why are the three of you, and only the three of you, looking into this, judging her, when it is the three of you who were aware of the falsehood 3 months ago and had been advising her and speaking to her about coming clean?
You haven't reframed the question. It's still the same question. Answer is the same. We never saw it as something which was untoward. MP Raisa has told a lie in Parliament. From a party perspective, we have to deal with it. We know some facts about it, but the facts that we know do not include a narrative that we told her to tell a lie or to take it to the grave.
It's not about whether you...
So for us, and I'm answering the question, so for us, it didn't matter. It never even crossed our minds that the composition of the disciplinary panel would be a problem.
Mr. Singh, I'm surprised to hear that.
I'm surprised you're surprised because I've given you the answer.
Because the only three people in all of the Workers' Party members of parliament who knew about the lie earlier were you, Ms. Lim, and Mr. Faisal.
We established that a long time ago.
And these are the only three people on the DP.
Right.
So even if you think, even if you think that you have done nothing wrong, you advised her, you didn't tell her to lie, I would suggest to you that that fact that you were aware much earlier, MP Raisakan had come to you to confess it and had taken your counsel on it and acted in a manner based on your advice, those would be material facts for the public to know, for Parliament to know, and indeed for the members of the Workers' Party to know.
I disagree.
Because amongst the submissions that you invited were submissions from the Workers' Party members, correct?
Yes.
And members of the Workers' Party who came forward, gave views to you on the DP, would include views as to whether they felt she should be retained as an MP or expelled as an MP, correct?
Yes.
And surely the entire range of her conduct, her behaviour, whether she held on to the lie for 3 months or whether she confessed it to the senior leadership of the Workers' Party early, all of that must be relevant. Surely.
What would be relevant is if
we... Answer my question.
No, because it never crossed our mind in that way.
And that's because you were blind to it. You were deliberately blind to it, Mr. Singh, because...
Because there were no lies involved.
Let me finish. It's not about a lie only, Mr. Singh. It's about honesty and disclosure, openness. Concepts that you speak about all the time.
Mr. Tong, I see where...
You are inviting members of the Workers' Party to come.
Yes.
And give you a submission, give you a view on whether you should retain Ms. Khan or expel her from the party.
Right.
Surely it is relevant for them to know that Ms. Khan had in fact come to you, the SG of Workers' Party, the chairman and the vice chairman, told the lie, made a clean breast of things, told all of you that it was a lie, and worked with you and get advice from you. And as early as the 7th of August...
Get advice from you?
Surely that's relevant.
I would disagree with that characterization, but my view is...
Whatever you might disagree on, Mr. Singh, the fact of the matter is that you didn't disclose the fact that she came up to you to disclose.
She didn't come up to us. We basically got it out of her.
That's still relevant.
And to me, that's very relevant to me now that I'm speaking of it. But what's more relevant is the DP didn't operate to hide things from the Workers' Party members. The DP did not tell a lie.
No.
Fact is, Ms. Khan had to correct a lie in Parliament. She told a lie in Parliament.
Yes.
She finally came out with the truth. And then we dealt with that issue from that perspective.
Yes. And the DP is also making recommendations as to whether you should expel Ms. Khan, correct?
The DP is making recommendations as to what ought to be done from a party perspective.
Yes.
And then it is up to the CEC to decide what to do with her.
And that includes whether to retain her or expel her from the party,
That's the decision of the
CEC. So the gravamen of her conduct is relevant, correct?
The gravamen of her conduct is relevant. That's what the DP is looking at.
And you would agree with me. I mean, you're a lawyer by training and a very experienced politician. You would agree with me, Mr. Singh, that there is a world of difference between someone like Ms. Khan who thought up the lie, spoke the lie in Parliament, kept it to herself, refused to clarify when called upon on the 4th of October to do so, did not share this with anyone else, and then only decided to confess and come clean 3 months later. That's one scenario. The other scenario is an MP like Ms. Khan who told a lie in Parliament, 5 days later told the entire senior leadership comprising the chairman, the vice chairman, and the SecGen of the party, that she has told a lie. And then the SecGen tells her, this is what we do. Tell your family, and then we sort this out. And according to the SecGen, this is what she does. She carries that plan out to a T.
She does
clears her draft. Clears her draft with you several times. Explains her position to the CEC. And then goes and makes a personal statement in Parliament on the 1st of November.
Yes.
Don't you agree there's a world of difference?
Well, now the two examples they were so long. But in my view, the critical difference between both these
answer
examples...
Answer my question. Don't
I disagree?
You agree?
I disagree. The critical difference between the two examples is the conduct of the leadership. Are the leadership telling her to take a lie to the grave?
No.
We are not telling her to take a lie to the grave. I'm giving my evidence. No. And because we are not telling her to do that, there's no motive. Actually, we never even considered it to be a relevant issue, to be frank. Not even relevant because we know what has happened. Ms. Khan has not taken responsibility and ownership, and we dealt with it from that perspective.
Mr. Singh, you seem to try to impress upon us that, at least upon me, that it is only relevant if somehow the DP members incited her to tell a lie.
Absolutely.
Or did something wrong.
I agree.
But I'm suggesting to you that actually that's not just the only scenario where a full disclosure is relevant. A full disclosure is relevant because the DP is inviting members of the Workers' Party to come and make an assessment of her conduct and make a submission to the DP as to whether to expel Ms. Khan or to retain her as an MP. And in that context, the fact that Ms. Khan has come to the senior leadership of the Workers' Party and confessed 3 months prior and has worked with the CEC, worked with the senior membership in leadership, including yourself, on her personal statement, which you all approved, surely that's relevant.
No, it's not relevant. I'll tell you why.
For a member, for a judging member of the public or a judging member of the Workers' Party to decide whether or not this is a person who should be retained as an MP or be expelled from the party.
That's if you assume that the DP's role was to decide on expulsion or retention. But
it
the DP didn't start. The DP didn't start with a conclusion in mind. We didn't prejudge the issue. Not at all.
And you see, you were told, what I'm putting to you, you're not hearing for the first time. You were told this by Ms. Lowe and Mr. Nathan.
Told what?
Let me show you. First of all, please pick up this bundle again.
I know where you're going with this.
I thought you would.
I know you where you're going with this. Yes.
Come, have a look. Okay? This is the screenshots.
Is it this one? Yes.
Go to the last page of that bundle, please.
Yes.
Okay, the second last message there is a message of the 10th of November, 9:56 a.m.
Just give me a second. Let's just confirm whether we're on the same... this is a message from who?
It is... I'm told by Ms. Lowe that this was a message that was sent out...
On the 10th of November.
On the 10th of November.
Yes, that is correct.
By the Workers' Party, and I'm not sure who is responsible for sending that out, but it was sent out to all members, inviting them to provide their views to the DP.
I don't have that communication here.
Second last message.
I may be on the wrong bundle. I may be on the wrong bundle.
Okay, I'll get someone to
help. Is this the one? I don't think so.
I think that might be the one. Look at the second last message, Mr. Singh.
Second last message, Pritam just told...
No, on the last page. Go to the last page.
There's nothing on the last page.
Can I see? I've circled it for you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. But there was no last page. Yes.
Okay, now we are on the same page, literally.
That's right.
Okay. 10th November, Workers' Party sends out an invite to all members to provide their views to the DP.
That's right.
It says at 9:56 a.m., Dear members, the DP is looking into MP Raisha Khan's admissions and invites members' views.
That is correct.
If you wish to meet the panel, please email Nathaniel Koh and so on so that arrangements can be made.
Right.
Right. So it's a general invitation to all
members
to come forward.
Yes.
You are inviting members to come forward to offer their view as to how they see the episode and what they would say should be done to Ms. Khan, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, eventually, the DP would take into account those members' views when deciding on the appropriate sanction to recommend to the CEC for Ms. Khan, right?
Yes.
Now, on the... Do you recall being told by Ms. Lowe, after she got this message, that... The DP has to be transparent.
Yes, she mentioned that on the 10th of December, but 10th of November.
Yes, on the very day that this...
Right.
Yes. I'd like you to have a look at that series of messages, please.
Yes.
So you know exactly what we are talking about. Please pick up this bundle again, the thick one.
Yes. What page are we on?
Yes, we are on page 222.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. It should be 223. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Okay. So at this is an exchange of emails, WhatsApps between yourself and Pei. So on the 10th of November, she says, "Hi, Pritam. I've tried to reserve my comments on the disciplinary panel so far, but I just saw the message that was sent out to everyone. This is the message that was sent out at 9:56 a.m.
That's right.
Right. No. The earlier message was 9:56, and her response an hour later is to you directly. And let me just show you what she says to you. "I feel that it's plain as day to me and people involved in her apology that this is a little backwards peddling. Clearly, the party didn't anticipate the backlash despite warnings, and it's trying to do something to quell people's anger. While I disagree with it, I can empathize with it. I don't think it is at all fair to let party members think that they have a say in this process. If this is done as a mock consultation exercise, then party members will be unhappy their opinions weren't really considered. If it is not a mock exercise, then they will likely all ask Raisha to resign when they do not have the full facts. I welcome the DP to be transparent and share their involvement in their findings, barring personal information. Sorry, share their involvement in this, comma, their findings, barring personal information, so that the party can actually make an accurate decision."
Yes. That's your response. Sorry.
Your response, "I hear you, PY, but I do think we need to give party members a platform to have their say on this important matter rather than commiserate privately or between each other and believe that a party leadership decides things without considering their views." She says, "I get that, but the DP hasn't exactly told the party of its knowledge and involvement."
Yes.
You then reply, "Despite that, it will be good to hear people out."
Yes.
Ping then says, "But their opinions are not accurate because they don't have the facts. Everyone is of the view that we can cut her loose and distance the party from her mistake. But if she's out of the party, she's still subjected to the COP, and there's not much we can do to what she says and shares when it gets there." And then your response, "They have the same facts as the public does. I'm not so sure everyone feels that she should be cut loose." Let me pause for a moment. You remember this
exchange? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Paying used to be your SA or LA, correct? For several years.
She was my SA, I believe.
In fact, you spoke about her in your inaugural election rally in 2011, correct?
Yes, I must have.
In glowing terms, right?
Well, it was 10 years ago.
Would you like me to remind you of it?
I think I know what it was. Yeah. I think I know what I said.
Your inaugural speech, in glowing terms.
Right.
You looked.
I didn't know who she was at that point in time.
Exactly. But you made it a point to look for her.
Because it was an interesting
And eventually
view.
She became your SA.
Yes.
You thought well of her.
Yes. I made that earlier on. I made that point earlier in my evidence.
She speaks her mind, right?
She speaks her mind, yes.
She's a cadre member of the Workers' Party.
Yes.
And one who is one of two who is closely associated with and helping Ms. Khan in her work.
Yes, that is correct.
She's coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour after she receives this broadcast to tell you a few things. One, please be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Give the full facts.
Mm-hmm.
Share your involvement, meaning yours, Ms. Lim's, and Mr. Faisal's involvement.
Yes.
Why didn't you do that?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, as far as I was concerned, the DP's role was to look at Ms. Khan's conduct. She lied in Parliament. She then takes the lie forward again on the 4th of October, and that was the conduct we were looking at. We did not at any point think, and I think there's a good reason why you come at it from a different direction, because you have sight of an SMS from Raisa to Paying and Yudish saying that we want to take a lie to the grave. I'm not sure whether Paying is referring to that knowledge,
because we didn't
have that knowledge.
No,
and let me answer the question.
Mr. Singh, don't speculate. Okay, and I haven't suggested it, and neither does Paying.
No,
talk about that message.
We can't be sure about that. We cannot be sure about that.
All she's saying is that, look, the members of the DP will involve themselves. It's only right that the members of the Workers' Party also be aware that you were involved so that they can make an informed decision.
We were not involved in that. We didn't say any lies. We didn't tell any lies to Parliament. And we also were not involved in the sense that we encouraged her to lie or to conceal the lie. Not at all. From that perspective, we saw ourselves as senior members of the party. It's an MP here. We will look at the feedback, how members feel about an MP who lies in Parliament, and we'll deal with it and make our recommendations to the CEC, who will decide what ought to be done. There was never any consideration that, are we muzzling someone? Are we doing something out of the ordinary? What do we know? By this point, on the 10th, it was quite clear where the party base, I would say, were leaning. And I think
I don't need to get into that. All I'm interested in is in the process. It's your decision.
I didn't find the process to be untoward.
It's your decision to make, right? Yeah. But the process, as Ms. Low points out to you, is flawed. You're not transparent, she says.
I can imagine she would say that, because I'm not sure whether she never at any point clarified with me whether we had told her to take the lie to the grave. Is that the knowledge that she's referring to?
Mr. Singh, please don't ascribe to Ms. Low any knowledge. I mean, she's not...
No, but she's talking about the knowledge, the party of its knowledge. What is she referring to?
Mr. Singh, she is not talking about that message that Ms. Khan had sent her.
How do you know?
She's not talking about it.
How do you know?
Do you see it here?
Do you see a reference to the fact... Yes. So what is the knowledge that she is referring to? You seem to know what knowledge she's referring to.
No. Well, all right. If you want to be specific, we can take you to parts of her submission to you at the DP as well. She made the same points, correct?
She made the same points, yes.
So my question to you is, why don't you pay any heed to this?
Because I didn't see it as relevant.
It
would have been relevant if we indeed wanted her to lie and take it to the grave.
Let me stop you there.
It was not relevant to us.
You don't say anywhere here to paying that's not relevant.
Mr. Tong, it is what it is. Of course, I don't say that. But I have a view. I've put the view out there.
Yes, so thank you. You didn't say that. Now, in fact, this is what you say. 10th of November, 11:24 a.m., paying says, but the DP hasn't exactly told the party of its knowledge and involvement.
Yes.
Despite that.
Yes.
You understand the words despite that?
You want to ask me what I meant by despite that?
That is true, but, correct?
No, that's not what I meant. But that's not what I meant.
Mr. Singh, I think, let's not play around with language. That means you accept what she says, then, it'll be good to hear people
out. Are you suggesting on a WhatsApp chat you double-check what you write and read and send, and then before you press the send button?
Well, I think we all know what despite
that means. I
think
the context is quite clear. To me, I found it irrelevant.
But you don't
say that.
That's
why I said despite that. Put that aside. That's what I meant.
Put that aside means even though the party hasn't told, the DP hasn't told the party of its knowledge and involvement, hasn't been transparent, hasn't come clean. Despite that, it's good to hear
people. The knowledge that we knew she lied. That knowledge. She lied in Parliament, and this is what the DP is set up for, to find out what ought to be the appropriate course of action that ought to be taken. That's my evidence.
Mr. Chairman, shall we take a break now? I'm not finished yet, but shall we take a break now? Is it okay?
We can take a break. Shall we adjourn so that we all can take a... It's been a long day. I think there'll still be a long, many more hours ahead.
No, I'm happy to. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So let's adjourn. Let's take an hour's break so we can get our thoughts as well. Come back at 6 p.m.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Singh.
You're welcome.